So go ahead and say what's going on.
I can't believe the power I have now.
Okay. you know, just say it's the 19th.
Yes, let me just hit the clock here. Okay, today is Wednesday, April 19th at 9 o'clock, and it's the Courtroom Observers conference call.
Right.
I don't have anything particular to bring up tonight. Hopefully next week or whenever I start, I will have something relevant to say.
So does anybody... Does anybody have any cases they're working on themselves or helping anybody or have anything to report?
I've been hoping to hear from Walter. I haven't heard anything from Walter. He sent me a bunch of paperwork, but I never heard any more from him. So I don't know if he made it okay in court or not. And there was nothing in his paperwork that he sent me on any of the charges he was allegedly being charged with. I couldn't figure it out. I was going through it, and I couldn't figure out what was going on with.
Well, he told me there wasn't any charges. He told me they just keep dragging him around, but they have not made any charges against him.
Then why does he go?
Because they keep making it sound like he has to go. I mean, well, maybe, wasn't he defending somebody? I thought he was defending his son-in-law, though.
Right, right. But then I didn't even see any charges in the paperwork he sent me about his son-in-law being charged with anything.
Right. Well, it sounds like when I talk to him that they don't even have any charges. They just keep making him go to court. I don't understand it.
It's all voluntary anyway. If you go, you go. And then you're going to get stuck in their game.
I guess.
You have to click your heels with them and make sure they dance the right song as you do.
Right. Well, I hadn't heard anything from Walt. I mean, I did send the notice out, you know, when he had to go, but I hadn't heard anything back. He usually calls me and thanks me. Because somehow it works out in his favor, but sometimes I have to talk him down. I mean, he's going to do whatever he does, but he wants to put them in their place.
Right, exactly.
We don't recommend trying that.
Exactly.
You know, so I hope he's okay.
I'm surprised he doesn't call in on the show. And Tanya, have you heard from her? I haven't heard anything on her either.
Who?
Tanya.
Tanya, yeah. She was really happy because she was getting a lot of help. And
right.
I did give her your number because you said you wanted to help her, right? Oh, good.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And so you haven't heard anything from her since then?
No, she sent me some things, some information that other people in the California area were helping her, and they had all of the statutes in California that were pertinent to what she was doing, which was good because I don't have that. I have New York info, but
right.
I don't have any California stats, and I don't have any way to cross-reference over, and that's
right.
kind of up in the air situation as well because the affidavit she sent me was like, what, you got to be kidding me, you didn't send this in, I hope, you know, and it just didn't have any of the elements that need to be in there in order for it to have credence, and it was really scared me, you know, but then she had people helping her do it, and maybe hopefully they figured out what needs to be done with her stuff.
Oh, I see, good.
She said something about they wanted to send her back to Canada. What the heck?
Yeah, she told me they were going to, this is all over a dog license?
Oh, it's a dog license now?
Or something weird. Well, what was it about? I forgot what it was. Was it? It was just ridiculous.
They took her house away from her.
Oh, okay.
And she was having problems with her husband. Her husband lost nothing to do with her, and her husband took the kids, and she never even had no say in the matter, and she can't get her kids. He won't even let her see the kids. And every time she goes to the school to find out and talk to them, they arrest her.
Right. Okay. That's what I. Okay. That's that one. Right. Okay. Right. And then, yeah, she said something about they wanted to deport her, but But she sounded like she felt like she had a group of people that were really helping her. So, which you know, that's
so.
What a lot of people just need is some support.
Right. Now, I don't understand with her and her citizenship. She's got a green card, which should entitle her to all of the protections that we have. But I don't understand how they can just pull that away from her if it's a contractual thing or what the story is. And that's something I don't have any information on as far as being over the border type of stuff. You know what I mean? International.
Right.
And that'd be probably a whole different court altogether. What I did was I gave her some information on Carl Lentz. I don't know if you ever listened to Carl Lentz or if anybody has.
Yeah.
But he does a lot up in Canada, in between Canada, the King's Bench, and America. And he does a lot with children in the family courts. And hopefully she can maybe touch base with him and get on his thing and listen to some of his procedures on how he does it.
Oh,
but he's
okay.
got some really good stuff exactly on the areas that she needs help with. But he knows Canada real good, and I don't. I have no idea what's
okay.
going on.
So do you have her email then, right?
Yes. I've got her email thing here and her phone number and so forth.
Well, can you send her that?
I already have. I already did.
Oh, you already have. Okay, all right.
I did that already, earlier, a couple weeks ago. And I haven't heard anything from her if she tried that. But then I heard she had the same thing that you heard, that she's got people helping her. So hopefully it's somebody who knows the international agreements and that kind of thing.
Right.
But as far as people going into court, that's great. If she can get people just to go into court and just be there, bodies, you know, to watch and to take notes.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to have a lot of smarts for that. I mean, we just pull people off the street and put a suit on them, you know, and a tie and say, here, take this pad and sit there.
Right, right.
Get the clip-on ties, you know, you could probably buy them by the dozen.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah. There's a... Yeah, but I would like to hear from, you know, like, her and Walter and find out, or anybody else that's gone in the court.
Well, Walter, see, Walter doesn't have a computer or anything, so he doesn't, he's pretty
that's
limited. Huh?
That's tough, because he sent me paperwork and he wrote it all out.
Yeah, I know.
And it wasn't even copied, and it's like, wow, a lot of work.
I know. So... you know, I don't know how old he is, but
he's almost,
you know, 70.
In the 70s.
Well, that's not that old.
No, it ain't. It's not. So, don't know. But it would be nice to have him call in. He's got a phone. He could call in and let us know what's happening. He calls you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I probably have given him this number before. Well, maybe not this one, because this is a newer one. But that's something to think about, is give him this number so he knows to call in. You know, and I've had different people who... you know, they have a pretty severe case, and I keep trying to get them to get on the call, but sometimes they're living in their car, you know. Or part of it, that has to do with what the courts did to them.
Right.
You know, they beat them down to where they didn't have anything. And so it's been difficult for them to even, you know, get paperwork or whatever. And so it's hard for them to get on the call.
Well, I'm here in New York, and I put it out one time to somebody. I offered my place if anybody needs a place to stay, you know, and they're more than welcome to stay here. I got a little 5-bedroom farmhouse out in the country. And
you do? That's really nice.
Yeah, I live with my 2 dogs out in the country, and I mean, people are welcome to stay here, you know, free of charge. I don't, you know, I wouldn't charge them nothing. I got a computer and electric and stuff like that and food. you know, if anybody in this area here that needs a place, I know how hard it is. I've gone that route too, where I was living in a station wagon for about 6 months, and it's tough. It is very tough.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Yeah. But nobody seems to want to respond. You know, they say, well, I don't hear nothing back. But it's always out there, so keep that in mind, you know, if you run into anybody that's...
Where is your place?
Right south of Buffalo, New York.
Uh-huh. Okay.
23 miles south of Buffalo, western New York.
Mm-hmm.
38 hours from Jersey, though.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. I might take you up on it.
Come on over. Come on over.
I'm coming too.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, you guys are all coming.
bring your paper plates and plastic forks, and we're good to go.
Now,
hi,
actually,
Helena.
I'm in my home with some problems with it, but sounds good to be in the country. I'm coming.
All right. Hurry up because the garden season is starting.
Yeah.
So, Helen.
Laura, can I tell you about my... This problem is not a big problem. Actually, it's a refreshing kind of problem. I just don't know how to handle it. I've discovered that since 2005, so for 12 years, the local... It's Aetna Borough, just outside of Pittsburgh, has been charging me extrajudicial, is what I call them, fines. And their code and ordinances say, like for snow and ice on the sidewalk, and I know they're trying to get me, so I have photographs. Since digital cameras come in, you don't have to buy a roll of film anymore. So I have, you know, oodles of photographs. But they give me tickets for, okay, you didn't clean your snow and ice off your sidewalk, and I'm thinking, that was like 2 weeks ago. Wonder what I did. I wonder if I took photographs. And then I find the photographs, and I did clean. And then, but they want to charge me like $600, and now I have the ordinance code, and it says up to and no more than 100. Now, they've done this. I just caught on, by the way. So they owe me, and then for my yard, you know, messy yard, first of all, there's vandalism. I don't know. I think it's the local Aetna police and their little hoodlum criminal saying, go over there and do this and I won't arrest you or something. They turn things upside down and they give me a $1,000 fine for that. And here, I think, they won't give me the code for that. It's 1289 and 1298. One is animal nuisance, and there was no nuisance, and they turned my yard upside down with vandalism. And I think the fine is only $600, but maybe it could be $100. They won't show me. I've been asking for a Freedom of Information request for these ordinance codes. It could be as low as $100, so they're charging me 10 times as much as they should. But I do have a $600 admission, so then they're overcharging me by $400. So they've done that about 6 or 7 times. So 6 times 400, you know, that's a lot of money. And then plus the $500 additional charge for 3 of the snow and ice sidewalk things, it just keeps adding up. And how do I get my money back?
Do you live in the city?
I don't live in Pittsburgh. Otherwise, there would be the Pittsburgh Citizens Review Board, Police Review Board, and I have been talking to them. I live in Aetna Borough. It's a little, it borders on Pittsburgh, and I use Pittsburgh for my address.
What is it, a city? Is it like a town, a city, or you live out in the country, or what kind of area is it where you live?
No, it melts into Pittsburgh, but it's called Aetna Borough or Borough of Aetna. And you can look up I get my Freedom of Information request through Muckrock, MUCKROCK.com. And I've been asking for the ordinance codes, and they won't give them to me.
Well, do you own your property?
Well, yeah, me and some trouble, you know, some things that I'm having a problem with. But, yes, I do.
You do own it. Okay, is the sidewalk, an area that they're claiming that you haven't taken the snow off of, is that under...
cop that's doing this to me maliciously. It is extrajudicial. It's because I took photographs.
Right.
because I didn't sleep with the Chief Bob Ober and Officer Paul Lord, and, you know, it's just, it's a mess, and they've been retaliating since I've moved here since 1982. It's been horrendous. You know, before, it's just awful. How do I get my money back? I mean, what do I do?
Do you pay taxes? Property taxes?
Yeah, right now I owe them $800, and I want their authority of what the reason they have, because they won't even give me the incorporation papers.
Because that's their duty to take care of the ice and the snow, not yours.
Not on the sidewalk. I do have that ordinance. That's ordinance 1266, and it does say, know the law now, what I'm supposed to do and what my responsibilities are.
It's not a public right-of-way?
It is a public right-of-way. An ordinance for me to clean it. And I have 24 hours after the snow fell and a walkable, passable, you know, there's...
We'll send them pictures of it with no snow on it.
Pardon me?
Send them the pictures with no snow on it. Say, here, what are you talking about?
They know I have pictures. I want to know, how do I get my money back? This is well over $3,000 that they owe me.
Well, number one, I wouldn't have paid them anything to begin with.
Well, number one, I didn't know. Okay, I just found out that they were overcharging
me.
And an extra
Just send them a bill. Do like they do to us. Send them a bill in three segments. Number one, you send them the first bill, notice and demand. It's come to my attention that there is overdue charges that you owe me.
I was convicted for all of them, so they think that, well, she didn't speak up then, but they didn't give me the ordinance, or I would have spoken up.
Okay, you could do it nunk-pro-tunk, now for then.
Okay. Can I talk to you, since, you know, I'm not going to lose my house over this, can I talk to you offline, privately?
Sure. Absolutely.
Can I give you my phone number or yours?
Okay. Let me get my pen here.
I called in a little bit late, so I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry.
Okay. My name's Mike. I go by Watchdog. I'm usually on the call Wednesday nights, too. Okay. So go ahead. What's your number?
My name is Helena, and the phone number is 412-782-4441.
And your name is Elena?
Helena, H-E-L-E-N-A.
Okay, Helena. Very good. Mm-hmm. All right, you going to be up? I can call you after the program tonight.
I'll be up.
And we can kind of go over it and see what, maybe there's something that you can do here.
Yeah, they're bleeding me dry financially. In my muckrock request, in my Freedom of Information request, I just said to them, that this is a Ferguson-style extrajudicial citations. They're just trying to bleed me dry and bleed me dry. Just punish me because I speak out. I mean, the drive-bys and the harassment, and, you know, they don't even have to go to, they're not even going to anything emergency, because around the corner they turn their flashers off. They turn their flashers off on for, you know, 10 seconds while they're going past my house try to intimidate me.
Right.
You know, that's what they call gang stalking, isn't it?
I don't use buzzwords like that, but they are stalking me, that's for sure.
Well, I've been reading about this thing called gang stalking where they...
I know, I belong to a group who calls it that. I don't agree with that. It makes it sound crazy. It's cyber stalking because they keep track of you using radio frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cyber stalking at best. That's what I'm willing to call it. So, you know, I break a beam, I go outside, and they're right there.
Right.
Radio frequency. That's our RF tracking and target locking. That's what that
is. Right.
So.
Okay.
I wonder if you made a great big giant sign, not a sign, but a big poster board type thing with tinfoil on it and just shined it back at him.
Well, you can look up my name, I'll spell you my last name, and look up my Freedom of nation request. Sorry about my little birdies here. Or I'll give it to you offline. I've done 51 of them. I'm trying to put them on just publish it out there for everybody to see what they're doing to me. It's horrendous. And they just keep ratcheting it up.
And this has been going on for 12 years, you said?
Since the first ticket that I got where I was overcharged was 2005. That's when it seemed to have started. I moved here in 1982. So before that, I was winning my cases. They were giving me tickets for blocking my own driveway. And that was the cop across the street, Paul Lord. And he, you know, I just wouldn't give in to him. And it was like 30-some years old as a single parent, just divorced. And, you know, he just thought he'd take his shot at me. And then when I refused, he started telling his buddies to give me a ticket. He said, hey, there's a truck over there across the street from me blocking a driveway. Well, I had two vehicles. I had a car, I had a truck. And, you know, one of them had to block my very own driveway. And I got like 30 of them. Then I heard that I had, because I kept trying to go down to the chief of police saying, hey, this is my truck. You know, it's my driveway, my truck. And they were giving me tickets, and I heard that there was a bench warrant issued for my arrest because I wasn't paying my tickets. And so I hired an attorney back then, Attorney Roger Horgan here in Pittsburgh, and he won the case for me, but then they started with other things. And so I'm always, ever since I moved here, I've always been in court because of them harassing. It's harassment. And I think it denigrates it, calling it gang stalking. It's police cyber stalking. It's abuse of power or abuse of, I forget, it's not that legally. I forget what they call it legally. I was process, abuse of process, I think it's the legal term for it.
So
anyway,
did you ever take those charging instruments that they send you? Or do they send them to you, or do they hand them to you, or how do they do it? Post it on your tree?
No, for one of the tickets, they sent it to me like 10 days later, so I'm in the mail from the magistrate, so it's not even coming from the borough or from the police station. It's a police officer who's doing it. It's Gary Coutenays. He's the one that's signing it. But, you know, it's like 10 days later I get a notice in the mail. 10 days ago you didn't shovel your snow. Going, I'm pretty sure I did. And I take lots and lots of photographs to document everything, including what my yard looks like, so that I just have evidence. And now they're pissed that I document that I take photographs. The borough manager, Mary Ellen Ramage, came driving by with her husband driving. She was only two doors down from me, about 150 feet away from me, their house. She pulls up and she rolls down her window. Her husband stopped just for her to holler out the window, you can't take photographs without someone's permission. So in one of my Freedom of Information requests, I asked, what law is it that I can't take photographs and document the vandalism and the abuse? And she writes back, answer that Freedom of Information request, saying that it's a state and federal law that they do not have any laws themselves. And I'm going, bingo. But it's constant. Constant.
Do you ever send them back as soon as you receive them? Refuse for cause, UCC 3-1-305.
I don't know. What did you say? Let me write that down. What is that?
Okay, refuse for cause. That's a Uniform Commercial Code. They're trying to get you to contract, and you just refuse to contract with them, basically, and you just send it all back to them.
You said UCC what?
Let's see. I think it's, I haven't done it in so long. I have to look it up again. It's either 1-305 or 3-305 or something like that. I'll have to look it up.
right, you can tell me later.
Yeah, yeah. But you just send everything all back. You just write it on the envelope and send it back to them. They just want you to, we do that when we get traffic tickets here in New York. We send them back within 24 hours. No thanks, we're not interested.
Well, they'd be delighted to break my door down and take me away and lock me up.
Yeah, they're always delighted to do that. That's what they're afraid. I mean, that's what they do. They put fear into everybody that they think people think they're going
to
do that.
Totally by fear.
Right, absolutely.
Peter Ramage has been the borough president, council president, 40 years, and I guess no one's running against him in May, so I guess he's going to be in again. And then he married the borough secretary, and she's been dubbed the secretary, the manager for the Aetna Borough, and also the Freedom of Information officer. She started out, asked for her salary that the taxpayers are funding for her in a Freedom of Information request. So that's one of the 51 requests that I have. And she's making over $80,000 a year. She barely passed high school. She has no education.
Nice.
I know. Isn't that lovely? I'm an engineer. I don't like that.
With that kind of money, you don't need an education.
No, me being married to the Aetna Borough president, who's been the president for 40 years, and I asked whether he recuses himself to vote her salary, and she refuses to answer that one. They won't tell me that answer to that Freedom of Information request.
That sounds like enterprise corruption to me. It's a RICO Act.
Well, I just,
now,
you know, I'm over. I'm close to 70. I'm done with it. I just want to put an end to it and get them into a little orange jumpsuit and let me get on with my life without any harassment. I've never been in trouble. It, you know, just took me a long time to graduate as an engineer, high honors. Just, you know, please respect and appreciate a citizen's part in her life.
Right.
So, I mean,
well, when you stand up to them, when you stand up to them, they take notice of that too. And when you just stand there and they know they can't do anything to you, they get scared.
Oh no, they're hurting me now. They're pulsing microwaves at me through my walls. So, Laura, that's part of the gang stalking that you call about. But I really do think that word denigrates the entire situation. That is also cyber. It's radio frequency.
I know. I know. A few other, I have a couple other friends that's what's happening, that's been happening to them too.
I spread my legs, take photographs, it's burnt. I've taken my pets, my chickens, to the veterinarian, Dr. Bennett. That's in the Freedom of Information request. Spent $200. I'm going, why is their breast all pink? You know, it's not burnt like soot black. It's pink. It's, well, I didn't know when I took them to see him. And then he called Pennsylvania's veterinarian, Dr. Dunn, and Dr. Dunn said that she's never seen anything like it. And that was three years ago. And now they're target locking and chasing them through the yard and actually neurologically hurting them. But all of this is documented. I'm not a radio frequency engineer. I'm not an electrical engineer. So this is going to
you know, that's trespassing, you know, on your property.
The radio frequency. That's for
and
sure.
You'll need to, you need to charge them criminally for trespass onto your property each and every time they do that. Anytime
they
step onto your property without permission.
They do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even in my bed. So, I mean, this is.
Can you prove it? Do you have any way to prove it? I mean, I know you know it's happening, and we know it's happening, but is there any
it's
kind of document?
It's very difficult. If it's ultra-wideband radar, then it's very difficult to measure. It's very low power. It does burn. I mean, I'll give you my last name for everybody who's on the call. Just look it up and put in muckrock.com, Helena Chorba. My last name is spelled C as in Charlie, S as in Sam, O as in orange, R as in Robert, B as in boy, A as in apple, Helena. And most of it doesn't come up just with that. So if you put in FCC, put in muckrock.com, FCC, There's a couple FCC requests, and they did give me a big spreadsheet of these radio locators and intentional radiators, like 334 of them. But I said, listen, you just gave me ultra-wideband. I need the micro-Doppler radar. I need continuous wave radar. I need step-frequency wave radar, ultra-wideband, and any one of the combination of these, and they're refusing to answer that FOIA request. And then there's police. There's one Freedom of Information request there where the police had complained and went and had a hearing, a Senate hearing, saying, we're getting cancer from our radar speed guns. And that's very important, because if they're getting cancer pointing it away from them, I'm getting cancer with it being pointed into me. Because this is just like the United States Embassy being pulsed with radar in Moscow. But those devices back in the 70s, 60s, and 70s were not as precise and didn't burn the people. They were trying to listen into backscatter of the radar that they were receiving back to eavesdrop in. But this can it can pick up your breath rate, heart rate, and speech through walls. I'll tell you the device's name, but you'll see it in my request, because when they don't respond to me, I give them the answer, because you usually know the answer when I'm asking for the request. So I just put it in there, cut and paste, and answer it. The device's name that could be a standoff range of 1,000 feet is called STORMS. That's STORMS is the acronym, and it stands for Sense Through Obstructions Remote Monitoring System. And it's made by a company called, and I'll spell the website for you, the name of the company you can't pronounce, and you'll see why in a minute. It's V as in Victor, A as in Apple, W as in Walter, D as in David, engineering, and then put .com/FAQ.html, and that'll bring up the fact sheet on the STORMS device. And as of the second quarter 2012, they had a handheld device that'll pick up your breath rate, heart rate, and 1,000 feet away, through metal, through concrete, through everything. This is building penetrating, everything penetrating, ground penetrating radar. I've slept down in my basement, which is mostly underground, the one half of it anyway, the front part of it, and it comes through anyway.
Now, do you live alone?
Yep.
No, it's too bad, so you don't have somebody living with you.
That's why I'm coming to see you.
Okay. Good. Tell them to come up. Bring their stuff up here. We'll deal with them when they get up here.
But yeah, I'm having a tough time measuring this. I'm broke trying to measure it. I just bought an $800 meter. I don't know how to read the damn thing. You know, I can do a survey. I can use a 1,000-foot tape. These meters, it's... And then I listened to Terry Moore for her ham call, and she's great advice. I'd love for someone to build me a GNU SDR to pick it up, the software-defined radio, GNU, then space SDR, software-defined radio, where you can build your own meter for relatively inexpensively. That's what I need, this $800 meter from Gigahertz Solutions to about 3.3 gigahertz. I need the next one up. That's going to be another $1,400 for me to buy that. But I don't know what I'm looking at. It's not
There's no reason why you should have to buy all this stuff. This is ridiculous.
Build yourself a Faraday cage.
This goes through everything. Look it up, vawdengineering.com/FAQ.html. Believe me, for the last, when did this start, about 15 years ago, I've done everything. My whole inside my house looks like a construction site with everything from ILAR, Velostat, Lingstat, foam board, Acoustaboard with, you know, aluminum foil on both sides that you buy at Home Depot for about $13 a sheet. I mean, it's everything. And since I figured out that this is a very, very sensitive motion sensor is what it really is, with radio frequency backscatter, I've been using gel packs because they mimic flesh and body and fat and, you know, just fluid, and putting a percussion massager beside it to vibrate it, to obfuscate where my heart is beating, where my breast is, you know, chest is heaving from my breath rate, or, I mean, try to figure out your pulse. I can't find my pulse half the time, and they can pick it up 1,000 feet away?
Wow.
So, Fred, you were talking about a Faraday cage. Are you on here?
I can send him my calculations for how big the hole has to be for Faraday cage. And if he went to vawdengineering.com/FAQ.html, he'll see that the frequency is so small that it'll go through. And some people would say, well, you just need, you know, aluminum screening and put it all around 2x4s and do this, do that. No, it goes through the screening. This is a very, very small micromillimeter, submillimeter and terahertz range frequencies. It goes through everything.
A Faraday cage will stop it if you build it properly.
I think you're wrong, because I've tried. I'm a good old country girl tomboy. I did it. It doesn't work, and neither has it for Laura's friends who are also assaulted like this. Believe me, this pain is so atrocious. We have done everything. And just because I sound like a girl doesn't mean I didn't do it right.
Okay. Well.
It's got me stumped.
You know, you don't need to be on a radio frequency device, a deck phone or a smartphone, or you don't need to have a smart TV or a Nest or a cocoon or whatever smart device that would be turned on for you to be heard from the mesh network, because we are all sonified. This device, you can be walking out in the woods with no smart things around you whatsoever. It's a handheld radar gun type of a device that pulses frequencies at you and picks up your breath rate, heart rate, and speech. You think you're all alone out there except talking to someone, you know, you're walking through the woods with, or top of mountain climbing, or you went hiking without any smart things around you, and your speech will be picked up. This is major. Oh, and Neil Gorsuch, he ruled on a case which was searched. A house was searched using this. It was a different device, not the Storms device. Storms device is the unclassified device that is the most capable. Okay. One they used to find Mr. Denson, and that you can look it up. You can download it for free. You don't have to go to Facebook. United States versus Denson, D-E-N-S-O-N. So there's no two N's and no I. D-E-N-S-O-N, United States versus Denson. And Mr. Gorsuch, Judge Gorsuch, was one of the three panel judges who ruled that search, that warrantless search, was allowed. They used a device, a micro-Doppler radar device called Range R, to find him. So it wasn't a FLIR camera. And by the way, Scalia, that he just replaced and got sworn in on Monday, Scalia was the one who wrote the opinion on another case, Kylo versus United States, K-Y-L-L-O versus United States. You can download that for free also. And there's an article out there on USA Today on sneaking past Kylo. What Mr. Kylo did was he was growing marijuana in a back room or garage or something, and they did a warrantless search on his house and broke down the door and said, aha, we knew you were growing marijuana, and took Mr. Kylo away, locked him up. He appealed it all the way up to the Supreme Court. Scalia wrote the opinion that was a warrantless search and Mr. Kelo was out running around loose because they could not use that evidence because they did it with a warrantless search using a FLIR-type camera, a heat-sensing device. Now they're using radio frequency searching and sensing device, and Neil Gorsuch says, oh, yeah, go right ahead. So Mr. Denson's serving time.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, listen, it's 10 o'clock, so I'm going to set the call down. But thank you, Helena, for letting us know about this stuff.
I wish
too,
John would put it into the newsletter. I told Terry about it. I sent this information to Jan. I mean, everybody should know about it, that this warrantless search, they can just pulse radar. It's a motion sensor that picks up
right.
Radar speech. but it's ultra, ultra, ultra sensitive.
Right.
And it causes cancer, and they're using it as a virtual reality toy. You know,
mm-hmm.
Let's just see if we can pulse Helena up the butthole, you know?
Oh.
See how she squirms and see how many burn marks we can put on her.